There's a river somewhere that's called Jordan, and they say that it's deep and it's wide, and they say that the king and the beggar on that shore will stand side by side at the crossing of the Jordan. Why should I be afraid? There'll be so
this is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. We do thank you for joining us, counted a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening, and we trust the broadcast to be a blessing and a help to you. And I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Fathers, we bow. We thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here on the radio. Thank you, Lord, for each and every listener that's joined us today. We ask that you'd bless them and help them, Lord, for Jesus' sake. We ask you today, Lord, that you just have your will and your way around here, Lord. God, I pray for the missionaries, the children's homes. I pray, Lord, that you'd lead us and guide us. Let us know what you want us to do, Father. Lord God, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your great love wherewith you've loved us with. I ask you once again, just have your will and your way during this time. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Brethren, let me make just a few quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. I'd like to ask you to pray for our children's homes, the one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, one in Romania, as well as the feeding centers where they feed the children daily in Romania and Bulgaria. And pray for our missionaries in the Ukraine and all of that that's going on over there with the war. And I think it hit really close to home to some of our national pastors and some of those that's working there and really affecting some of the churches. But I'm glad I was thinking about that. I don't know what all is going to happen down here and what may happen next. But I'm glad we've got an eternal home. I thought, Lord, it's terrible. Probably some of their homes have been destroyed and run out of them and things like that. But I'm glad we've got an eternal home. I'm glad that they can't take away from us. And I sure appreciate the Lord doing that for us and giving that to us. But if you would, I'm sure they're going through hard times and hardships. But if you would, please pray for all of the missionaries, and the Lord just help them and give them grace as needed in this day and hour. I do want to say I appreciate all the prayers and financial support that's come in for the feeding centers overseas and the flour and oil fund that they feed them with over there. And if you would, please continue to pray and the Lord meet the need for those where they feed the children over there. Sometimes that runs a little bit low, but the Lord always seems to make it up somehow. And we appreciate all that he's done for us. And we appreciate you minding the Lord when he lays it on your heart to do and to help. And we're thankful for you, each and every listener, and each and every one that prays for us and helps financially. And we want to thank you for that. We would like to take just a minute to give you our mailing addresses. If you would write us this week, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church. Okay, have your Bibles. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And that was very, very real to me. Seemed like every time that I preached way back yonder, sometime during the message, this scripture come out. So why did it come out? Because I was hungry. And I was thirsty. And said, "After righteousness, for they shall be filled." I was sitting back there thinking, I'm going to give you a few little things here before I go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and read some verses over there. I was saved, but I really wanted all the Lord had for me. I really did. I mean, I knew there's more than the religious culture that was going around. I knew there's more than just the realm that people run in. And it's like I said this morning, and I hope people don't take offense to that. I'm not telling them what to do. I'm just telling what God done for me. When I got before him and took that book that I'd ordered and throwed it away. Now, I ain't telling you to do that to yours. I'm just telling you what God put on me. And I'll be honest, I didn't understand that a lot at the time. I do now because I understand this. I've got to have some real faith now. And I mean, I don't think you can get that kind of faith out of a substitute book. I think you better have the Word of God if you're going to get the real stuff. And see, it's hard when people call you from other nations and need things, and you want to believe God for them. Amen. I mean, you know, you better be able to know how to go get with God. Amen. Not go get something from somebody else. I mean, not that God didn't give them something, but I don't need what God gave them. I need what God gives me. And that's what you need. You need an experience with God that he gives you things. Don't live on somebody else's experiences all the time. And that was something that I had to learn. I mean, I needed things myself. I mean, and I appreciate hearing those experiences that God gave, because I know if he'd done it from them, I know God is no respecter of person. He'll do it for me also. He'll help me. He'll do some things for me. And that's what I needed. I didn't need just what they wrote down. I needed something from God's own word. I found out if God ever speaks to you, if he gives you something, if he gives you a verse, it's real. If he gives it to you. And back in that time, every time that I would preach, I'd about say this verse. Because I was hungry and I was thirsty for more than the religious show that went on a lot of times. I mean, I knew when the Spirit of God come around, and I knew when he's around, and I knew when he wasn't. And it seemed like, or I felt like I did, not that I'm anything, but it felt like that the show or the service that was going on. And I still see this a lot, and I say this sometimes. I mean, they can do it with him or without him. They can shout with him, or they can shout without him. It don't make no difference. But I didn't want that. I wanted the real shout. I wanted the real Spirit of God moving. And if he didn't do nothing, I didn't want to do nothing. And if he did, I didn't want to miss out on it. But the Bible said, blessed is he. And so, I mean, I wanted everything that he... I wished I could get back to that now, just to be honest. But the Lord has helped me today in seeing some things. I was looking at this. This is Jesus, and he's up there on the mountain, and he's teaching this crowd. But then I sat back there today, and these scriptures come to me, and it's like... And it wasn't an audible voice. I don't want to say that. But it's like the Lord said, this is what I done for you. And man, that helped me. The Bible said in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 10, moreover, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all did eat the same spiritual meat. And all did drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now I'm talking about blessed is he that hungereth and thirst. And he said, now this is what I fed them back there. I mean, I fed them Christ.
Amen.
Some of y'all are not going to understand part of what I'm going to say here because you've never experienced it. You've never had to sit in the church and eat something that was not Christ.
Amen.
Ain't that good?
Yes,
some of y'all have been blessed and you've never had to sit and eat on your good living and your righteousness. And if you'll do right, God will be good to you. Some of y'all have never had to sit and listen to that junk. And it is junk. It's a bad diet. Self-righteousness is a terrible diet to have to try to live on. I mean, see, what you put in your body, that's what you live on. It's where you get your strength from. Well, if you're just eating on self-righteousness and your goodness and all that, it don't get you very far down the road. You run out of gas. Because, you know, I want to preach on when 23 years ago this month, I was so hungry and thirsty after the Lord. And for some odd reason, the Lord let me come up here and sit about 3 or 4 pews back right there, sat there for a long, long time. And the first thing that happened was preacher took that diet away from me. You know what he said? He said, you're sorry as hell. Ain't that right? He said, you're no good. He took that diet that I'd been eating on and hearing people talk about. He took that diet away from me. But you know what he gave me? That spiritual rock, which is Christ. That spiritual meat, thank God. That spiritual drink, which is Christ. He'd get up there and say, without Jesus, it's nothing. Took that out of my diet. I mean, I sat back there and I thought about this. Blessed is he that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for he shall be filled. And I sat back there today and the Holy Ghost said, I filled you with Jesus.
Amen.
I took all that other stuff away. Put you in a place where somebody just tell you, hey, I remember this. And long before I sat there and listened to preacher, I remember one night when I first met Joe Alvarado. And he come over to the house and he's going out the front door. He's leaving that night. And Joe said something like this. And I won't get it exactly right, but I'll never forget it. He said, I believe Jesus done it all.
Amen.
You know what that was? Boy, that's a good midnight snack right there. When he basically said, you didn't have no part in it. You didn't do nothing to deserve it. You ain't no good. It's all the Lord.
Say, what is that? That's the spiritual meat. That's the spiritual drink, which is Christ. He said, Moses back there, when they was in the wilderness, that all I fed them was Jesus. Boy, ain't that a blessing. Wake up every morning, and it's God that brought them out of Egypt. It's God that parted the seas. It was God that had the cloud over them by day. It was God that had the fire around them by night. It was God that brought the manna down. It was God that brought the quails. It was God that sent the rock which brought forth the water. It was all God. It's all Him. Boy, I'm sitting back there getting help today. I'm glad. Thank God. I'm filled with one thing. I know it all Jesus now. It's not my goodness, but it's the good grace of God. And it's the love of God. He did. Hey, see, I used to hear a crowd talking about if you'd get right, walk right, you could die right. That was a saying in the realm I run with down there. A popular saying out of hell, preached in the pulpit most of the time, because you ain't doing right. The Bible said Jesus was the only righteous one. I finally found out. I was fed one day, and the scripture become real to me. Jesus was made my righteousness.
Yes, sir.
So what'd you do? I eat it.
Amen.
I took it in. I drank it all in. For He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And you say, what'd you do? I just took all that in. I wasn't just born again. I was made righteous in the eyes of God. The Father cried out from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I found out I was in Him, and now He's pleased with me. All that was in my heart, I wanted to please Him. I wanted to do right, but I could not do it. But Jesus did.
I mean, thank God, blessed is he that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for he shall be filled. I was sitting back there thinking, boy, I'd like to get back to that again. And it's like he said, I filled you. You don't have nothing to brag about but him.
Amen.
We got rid of all that other stuff. We found out you're no good. You don't have to dwell in all that business anymore. It's not what you're doing, it's what he's done.
Amen.
It's not where you're going, it's where he went. It's finding out that he's not upset at us anymore. The war's over. We're no longer enemies. Ain't that good? See, there's a whole lot of Christians, born-again believers, that they're in bondage. And they're in bondage because of what they're eating, spiritually eating. Oh, they're faithful to the church. They come. They may even tithe and do all the extracurricular things that happens in the church, but they've never been set free because they've never just been able to eat from the spiritual meat and the spiritual rock that God has from them, because they're eating a different diet. And if you don't think there's a different diet out there, visit around just a little bit. Go see. Lord God, I mean, they had me in such a shape when I come up here. I mean, I done told you, and I'm just testifying a little bit. I was ready to quit, because I done throwed my hands up and said, God, I can't do it. I can't live it. I can't be good enough. I want to. I desire to, but I can't do it. Say, well, what was you doing so bad? I don't know, but I wasn't doing nothing no good. The biggest problem I had was I couldn't believe God. Say, well, why is that? You diet. If you're eating the wrong thing, it ain't long till you start look like what you're eating. And if you start listening to all that stuff, it ain't long till you start believing it. I told you the first time I ever come up here, preacher got up, preached out of Matthew chapter 23 and 24, and I left mad. Now, I didn't say nothing foolish like I wouldn't go back or I wouldn't do this or I wouldn't do that. I left mad, but I knew he told it right. That was the problem. He just told it contrary to I'd always heard it told. That's the reason there's one common denominator with preacher. You either loved him or you hated him. There was no in between. Oh, they might have respected him, but there was no in between. No, because he'd get up and tell them. He'd tell that dignified crowd, you're just as sorry.
Amen.
They'd go up there and get in the motel, and they'd be fussing about how sorry the motel was, and he'd say, you ain't worthy to sleep in Paul's jail cell.
Yes, sir.
Boy, that hair lift them. That's true, it happened. I mean, you know, everybody had their standards. They was way up here, and he had a way of bringing you way down here. And that way, when you're way down here, Christ is way up here.
Amen.
He gets the preeminence. Christ is exalted.
Amen.
Christ is the high and lofty one.
Right.
I mean, you can look up and see the one that's altogether lovely when you're looking at Jesus. See, most of this crowd wants us to look in the mirror. Lord God, I don't want to look in the mirror. I want to look at Him. I want to look at the one that loved me and gave Himself for me. That's something I learned how to do. I'm glad it's all Him. It is not me. I mean, He said, blessed is he that hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'm going to tell you what, these folks come through here, young'uns come through here, and they're hurting. They don't need to see themselves. They don't even need to see the ones that left them. They need to see somebody that can pick them up.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. They're already in the mire. They need somebody that knows how to deal with the mire. They need to look at somebody that can pick them up, set their feet on a solid rock, and establish their goings. They need help. They need somebody that can help them. So how do you know? Because I was that somebody. I needed somebody that could help me. I needed somebody that understood what I was going through. I remember different times going through a lot of these things. And I'd go to people I want to say highly esteemed. And I don't think he meant it in a bad way, but I'd tell them how I was feeling, and they'd just laugh at me. That happened a couple of times. But you know what? I've never had the Lord laugh at me. When I poured my heart out to Him and said, Lord, I just want more of You. You know what He done? He showed me more of Jesus every time. I believe Jesus understands that. I believe when He was on the cross, there's people laughing at Him, there's mocking Him. Say, look at Him. I believe there's laughing when they made the statement, He saved others, but He can't save Himself. I believe there's laughing at Him when they blindfolded Him and smote Him and said, prophesy who this is. I believe there's making a mock of Him. But that's okay. It is now, because I understand He understands. He understands what I felt like, and He can do something about it.
Amen.
So what did He do? Well, I just sat there for a long time. You ever get around people and they're slow eaters? I must be a slow eater. I sat there, and I just, every time I'd just try to see what was said about Jesus or see what was sung about Jesus. And I was doing it in a way that I didn't even know I was doing it. It's all subconscious, I guess. But finally, after 23 years, the Holy Ghost kind of whispered my heart back there and said, I did fill you with it. You don't have to feel that way no more. You don't have to be hungry and thirsty after it, because now it's Jesus. And nobody can take that away from you now. Boy, ain't that a blessing for some of you, is to never have experienced some of that. You've been filled all of your life with either Jesus done it for you or you're lost going to hell. You're either saved or you're not. There's no getting better, doing good. Baptism ain't going to help you. It's Jesus. It's Him. But I sat back there and got help today when the Holy Ghost just kind of, I can't explain that. I don't even want to pack that off on Him that He said anything to me. I just felt like the Lord just showed me I filled you with Jesus. It's all Him. It don't have nothing to do with your giving. It's what God gave. It don't have nothing to do with anything you've done. It's what He done. And you know what that does for me? That gives me enough to get home on. Because He'll never fail us.
Amen, that's right.
He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Mama might do that. Daddy might do that. Loved ones may do that. But the Lord will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Thank God. See, you say, why are you saying that? Because about the time I come up here, I got blowed out. When the old feller said, if you ain't doing right, God will turn His back on you. That was it for me. I was in a revival meeting and I left that meeting that night not doing right. I was saying some choice words going down the road. And I got home and I poured my heart out to God, and part of that I wasn't being nice about it. I said, Lord, this is it. You're either going to do something or I'm done. But He did. He'll get you to the place you're sick of your diet. I don't know why I'm talking about food on New Year's whenever everybody's made their resolutions that I hope you keep them if that's what you want. But if I could just eat better in here, just Jesus, let me partake of Him. Let me eat what He gives me. And He comes on over here, and I'm going to be done here in just a second, but I do want to read this. It said, the cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, and all the partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the offering. He gets talking about that bread of Christ. Over there in the Old Testament, He fed them every day. So what does that matter? Because you can have Jesus every day. This relationship is not just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and for us Thursday night. No, you can have Him every day if you're hungry for Him.
Amen.
You can partake of it. You can drink of this water every day. Blessed is he that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I appreciate the Lord what He's done for me. Thank God. And I guess I don't know why I'm even talking about this now other than I... sitting back there thinking after preaching this morning and talking about it being about 29 years, I guess, and I'm sitting back there thinking, you know, this month, it's been 23 years since I came here, I reckon, somewhere thereabouts. And because I think it was actually on the first that I resigned my church down there. I believe it's on the first. And, so after that, I headed this way and never regretted it. It wasn't no big deal to get up and drive 45 minutes because I was hungry to eat when I got here. I was getting fed Jesus. And I appreciate that. I don't take that lightly at all. I'd be in a mess today had not God done that for me. Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.